Blog Talk Radio.
That tune you probably couldn't make out, and I think it's a French singer that's singing it. It's an Irish tune. It's called "The Lonely Bannerstrand." Bannerstrand being an area where ships can unload 20,000 rifles. And it's about a gentleman named Sir Roger Casement. Now, you must realize that when gun control comes in, the citizens lose their freedom. And that's what happened to the Irish for 500 years. And in the Irish uprising, the only friends that the Irish had were the Germans. America wouldn't take sides against Britain, and so they were like the odd man out, the Irish. So what they did is they turned to anybody who could help them, and that's what happens in revolutionary movements all over the world. They go to whoever can help them, and if it means they got to turn communist in order to get the job done, they'll do it. But anyway, the Irish were fighting for their freedom, and Roger Casement sailed into Ireland with 20,000 rifles. And he went ashore to find out why nobody was to meet him, and the Brits were laying for him, and they caught him. And they tried him, and they sent him to England to be tried, and he was hanged in a British prison. And that's what happens when you lose your Second Amendment rights and people toy with you. So no matter what country you're from, once you have lost the right to bear arms, you are in deep trouble. And you can't count on your government to help you, because your government may be the one who wants you out of the way. So think about that. And I'm going to give you my short upload, and then we'll go to the big upload.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes left, so before I close, I'm going to talk to you about gun control. Liberals are crazy. They have no idea what they're doing. They want to ban AR-15s. but most of the crime committed is with pistols. See, it's a rule. First, they're going to limit the size of the clip, and then they're going to limit, like they did in Mexico to that Marine, the length of the barrel. And then they're going to limit the number of bullets, and then they're going to limit all long rifles, and then they will go after the pistols, and then they're going to come after you. Because the only reason they want to get to the guns is to get to you. You don't believe that. Take my rule of thumb that works all over in a lifetime. Nothing never can happens all the time. So here's a comment on gun control. And this is on September the 24th, 1976. One of the toughest gun laws in the nation took effect in the District of Columbia. September 24th, 1976. Since the ban was passed, more than 8,400 people have been murdered in the district, many killed by handguns. Nearly 80% of the 181 murders in 2007 were committed with guns. They are not AR-15s, people. Whatever right the Second Amendment guarantees, it does not require the district to stand by while its citizens die, the city wrote in its petition to the Supreme Court last year. Sterling Tucker, D.C. Council Chairman, when the ban was enacted, we had to isolate and contain the problem. We thought a handgun law would do it. You got to do a criminal law. It's the mind that tells the finger to pull the trigger. Tucker said city officials realized the loss had its limits, that guns would never vanish from the streets, and they never imagined it would do away with homicides and violent crime. Stupidity. Stupidity. And the one who wants to take your gun away is the one that wants to use it against you. Here's gun control, the historical record. It should be the hysterical record. In 1929, Soviet Union established gun control. From 1929 to 1953, Joseph Stalin was planning to exterminate all the Jews in Russia. Nobody will tell you that when you go to communist cucumber school. But you know what stopped him? God gave him a stroke. So from 29 to 53, about 20 million dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Like you exterminate a pest. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were exterminated after they were rounded up. And Germany established gun control in 1938, and from 1939 to 1949, a total of 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. China established gun control in 1935. From 48 to 52, 20 million political dissidents unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Guatemala established gun control in 1964. From 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Mayan Indians unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Uganda established gun control in 1970. From 71 to 79, 300,000 Christians unable to defend themselves, like the ones in the Sudan today, were rounded up and exterminated. And wait till all the Coptic Christians get driven out of Egypt under Obama's Peace Through Communism program. Cambodia established gun control in 56. From 75 to 77, 1 million educated, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. The entire city of Phnom Penh was marched into the jungle. And they didn't even shoot them. They crushed their skulls with sledgehammers. If you wore glasses, you were getting a sledgehammer. And they would look for the marks on your nose. 1990, Rwanda established a gun control. In the span of 100 days, in April 1994, 800,000 people who were unable to defend themselves were massacred to death mostly by machetes. How many dead, hacked-up bodies do you think were found holding a loaded gun? And because there was 800,000, it didn't reach the million mark. Bill Clinton and his ilk, his quislings, refrained from calling it a genocide. Because if they had called it genocide, the UN, which is, stands for useless no accounts, would have had to defend those Rwandans. This defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control, 56 million. And at 56 million, it's more than that. Now, catch this. Who said this? The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that's good. Over the fireplace, guys. Over the fireplace. George Washington. The best we can hope for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Alexander Hamilton. Arms discourage and keep the invader and plunderer in awe and preserve order in the world as well as property. Thomas Paine. The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able may have a gun. Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death, and I can back it up. That's what he said. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Thomas Jefferson. Disarm the good guy, and you are protecting the criminal. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. How do you think any ethnic group in the United States would feel if Congress said, you know what, we're going to pass a law, we're going to disarm just the blacks. We're going to disarm just the Asians. We're going to disarm just the Latinos. Or we're going to just disarm just the white people. How do you think that would go over? Would you want to go to an Indian reservation and tell those people who have been abused for years that they have to turn in their arms to the people who spoke with forked tongues more than once? The same Constitution be never conscripted. The said Constitution be never conscripted. To prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, for keeping their own arms, as Samuel Adams. But the rights of citizens to bear arms is just one more guarantee against arbitrary government and one more safeguard against the tyranny. You think I want President Obama to turn around and say to the UN, here's a disarmed country, it's all yours, and I'll do everything I can help to make sure that you control them? Never can happen. Happens all the time. You wouldn't be the first generation to wake up and find out you didn't have a country. And the kids don't know. Kids don't know. They're completely brainwashed. They don't even know they're brainwashed. And the people who know they're brainwashed, they consider to be old and senile. And prejudice. Yeah. So, Hubert said, it's just one more safeguard against the tyranny in which now appears remote in America, but which historically has proved to be always possible. So there's the story on guns. It wasn't the AR-15 that killed those kids in the school. It was a madman and his computer and his hard drive and his soul and his evil thoughts that told the mind to tell the finger to pull the trigger. It wasn't the gun, it was the madman. And we got to go after the source, not the instrument. A guy drives on a college campus with a Suburban, and he mows down as seven people shouting, Allahu Akbar. Are you going to impound everybody's Suburban? give it a break. And don't let the communists take your guns away. We close our show wishing you a Merry Christmas and happy holy days. Peace on earth, goodwill to men of goodwill, and keep your gun clean.
We'll give you a quick tone, and then I'm going to see if I can, if my upload took. 12. So far, no upload took. We'll give you Johnny Mathis. He used to do some great Christmas stuff. I got to look up some. I got to find some of that stuff.
Thank you. pleasant smile to heart your heart again.
Christ, our Lord and Savior, whether you like it or not. And Merry Christmas, everybody, or should I say Merry Christ Mass, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a Mass in celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to pay tribute to His mother and faithful Father. And Hanukkah is over. A belated happy Hanukkah to the chosen people. And being that I'm on a light note right now, I'll tell you the history of how God picked His chosen people. He came to Earth and he visited the Catholics, and he said, "I'm looking for a chosen people, and if you follow my commandments, you can be the chosen people." And the Catholics said, I know this is a little backward because the Catholics came after Jesus, but this is a joke, so you got to go along with the correction in history. So the Catholics said, "Can we eat meat on Friday?" And God said, "No." They said, "We'll pass." So then he went to the Muslims, and he said to the Muslims, "I'm looking for a chosen people. If you can keep my commandments, you could be my chosen people." And the Muslims said, "Can we have more than one wife?" And God said, "No." And the Muslims said, "We'll pass." Then he came to the Jewish people, and he said, "I'm looking for a chosen people, and if you follow my commandments, you could be my chosen people." And the Jewish people said, "How much do these commandments cost?" And God says, "They're free." And they said, "We'll take them." So, a little light humor, life fair, as they say. I'm going to say a prayer for atheists. That's it. It's over. Yeah, okay. And they're not going to heaven, and they know it. But why ruin it for everybody else? You know what I mean? Why do you have to come out and ruin it for everybody? Just because you're not going to heaven. That's your business. Why come out and ruin it for everybody else? It's like these people with the Second Amendment. I'm not going to have a gun, and neither are you. Why not? Because I'm not having one. Why should you? What do you tell your children at supper time when there's only one plate? "Oh, I don't have children. I'm an atheist." Yeah, I don't believe in the hereafter or the before. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See that? You know how many times "my God" is said a day?
No, I just started.
And you know how many times Hollywood takes the Lord's name in vain just to cheapen it? They do it, right? You hear them. You even hear them on the talk shows. I heard Ima say it the other day, among other things that Ima says. So, we have a tragedy. I don't know if you know it or not. But this week we've been living through a tragedy, and I thought I would discuss it with you, see if we could get to the bottom of it. It's the fall of Hillary Clinton. Due to the tragic accident that caused Hillary Clinton to fall, striking her head resulting in amnesia, she will not be able to be sworn in, so help her God, and finally admit the murders of Tyrone Woods, Glenn Doherty, Sean Smith, and one other. You know, when I get so annoyed how cheap the media is, how rotten they are. They announced the murder of the ambassador and three others. So that's why I just read you the names of the three others and one other, the ambassador. These three were greater than that ambassador. Yes. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. They were there to protect him. They knew they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Legislation is being rushed through the Soviet portion of Congress to create the Barstool Act of 2012. As of today, all barstools must now be 2 cubits wide and have seatbelts. Senator Leahy, drinking helmets are now mandatory for happy hour. Viking drinking helmets are still banned as before because they make holes in the floor. A series of questions will be presented to all involved at the hearing. President Obama, what is the penalty under Article 99 in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, O Commander-in-Chief, for cowardice in the face of the enemy? Secretary Clinton, did you watch them beg for help for the whole 7 hours? Secretary of Defense of Lying, Pinheta, how far was the closest armed drone? Where was the C-130 gunship that was told to stand down? Where was the Black Hawk up? Where were the F-116s that could have been there in 20 minutes? Who hung up the phone on the 911 calls the first time? Admiral Lemon, as a civilian, where do you think the closest U.S. Navy ship was? Nice earrings, sir. I love that song. FBI Director Mueller, how did CNN find all the paperwork you did not find after your agents told the cabbie just circle the block 2 weeks later? CIA Chief Cuddles Petraeus, what was the Turkish emissary planning with Ambassador Stevens concerning weapons for Syria and Eric Holder? Was the ambassador supposed to be kidnapped and swapped for the blind sheikh or Governor Cuomo? General Salam Aleikum Allen, can I see the picture with your shirt off again from Topless Magazine? Did you create that Koran burning story like Suzanne Rice did to the video The Prophet Does Dallas? Sidebar to President Pinocchio Pants, was 911 your fault? Is it true you made $147 million in office? Did you work a second job? How come President Obama came in with $2 million and he's only up to $11 million allegedly? Is there good money in presidential libraries, dry cleaners, and laundries? Hold on to your Second Amendment rights, boys. With the new updated AR-15 clause, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. So we had a guest today. We had a friend of my wife's who was in our wedding party. Oh, man, that was so long ago. I think Napoleon was in our wedding party. Oh, man, I tell you. You want to know how long ago it was? I was complaining at the dinner table that when I go out on the wed looking for a partner, that I'm embarrassed because the women are so young. They're all in their 50s. Yeah, what can you say, right? But the question of the day that I planted was, are we leaving to our children a USA that was better than the one that was left to us? And the answer was a resounding, without hesitation, no. And the reason was the economy. But it was more than the economy. I could tell you that right now. It was divorce, abortions, godliness, ungodliness. And the three key ingredients of the United States has been destroyed by the communists. We are a target of international communism. And it's been at work since the 60s. And if you just listen to that tune, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, there is not one kid in any school in America that can tell you the origin of that song and who it was dedicated to. And I didn't know up until today. But you know, the one good thing about the internet, besides all of the video games that cause murder, that cause physical murder, and all of the dark alleys in the internet, it is a great source of learning before the communists get it and erase all that is good. This song was dedicated to a ship that was caught in Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. I don't know if it was a battleship. Let me see. It's named after a city. I don't know my Navy history. I know the Arizona, the Nevada, they were all states that took hits. So this was the USS New Orleans. So I'm going to say it's a smaller ship, not a battleship, because it's a city. And I think all the battleships were named after states. But it took a hit, and all its power mechanism, electrical power, was destroyed. And what they had to do was they had to pull 54-pound
artillery
rounds,
shells
up from the ammo hold in the ship. And that's how the song got started, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. And guys were in a line of feeding the ammo to the guns. Now, I didn't know that. And I'm sure it's not being taught in school, because nothing that is pro-American will ever be taught in a communist cucumber school. You can rest assured, nothing that is pro-American will ever be taught in a communist cucumber school. Our kids are at a total disadvantage, and they are not getting the country that our parents left to us, the greatest gift one generation can give to another. We have dismantled this country, and we've killed the three key ingredients that Joseph Stalin said was the greatest attributes that made the United States, that had to be destroyed. Patriotism, spirituality, and morality. And speaking of morality, I come from, I'm first generation American. I have been raised to be a proud Irishman. And it breaks my heart to see that the lefties in Ireland, that is not the island that my father left, are voting for abortion. The last bastion of decent living has been destroyed. And you know what took it down? Drugs. The day they allowed drugs into the country was the day they lost the war against the spirituality, morality, and patriotism. The three ingredients that any nation needs to survive. So, the Irish have come out from 500 years of slavery, and they're going back in. They're going to be slaves of the devil. And once it was called the land of saints and scholars. My heart is broken. It was always the Statue of Liberty, Christ's Statue of Liberty. Now it's just become one of us. The dregs of society. Hang in there. Did you like that, the fall of Hillary Clinton? You know, when that headline hits the internet, I got to tell you, when that headline hits the internet, all of the libs will be up in arms because they're planning to make her the president of the United States after Red Obama lines up everything for the internationalists. Hillary's going to come in and play Margaret Hatcher. Margaret Hatchet. Yep, we're in trouble, my friends. Now, they did have a laid to rest Senator Inouye in the Rotunda in Washington. And you know what? It's going to break my heart. You know, sometimes I pray that the politicians I hate the most never die. Because I don't want to see, especially presidents, I pray that Bill Clinton doesn't die. I don't want to see that garbage truck turning down Pennsylvania Avenue with the galoshes turned inside out. Oh, man. And given a hero's funeral. A hero's funeral. Give me a break. Somebody said he's got a library and it's mostly porn. Oh, God help us, man. What have we done? We screwed our own children. We've elected fools and incompetents. Oh, he's clever. He's sharp. He knows how to play the people. He's smarter than I am, that's for sure. But you know what? He's smart for all the wrong reasons. And better a dummy was in there that couldn't hurt you. But anyway, I thought I had something to read to you. Oh, I was talking about Inouye, right? Inouye. Oh, this is going to be interesting. I just found something about. This one's going to get you, man. You don't think Big Brother's taking over? Let me go back to Inouye. Inouye is a war hero. He's a war hero. He served with the Nisei Battalion in World War II. He was the pride of Japanese Americans, but he did two things wrong. Actually, it's one thing wrong. He voted party over country. And that's what the Democamos do. They vote party over country. They never vote country first. They vote party over country. He voted to burn the flag. And his coffin went into the rotunda today, draped in an American flag that millions of Americans have died to protect. And they use guns to protect it.
Hang in there, folks. We're coming back here. I had to get in and get out. Yep. We use guns to protect it. And we use guns to protect it. Never forget, the Second Amendment is not for hunters. It's to prevent you from being hunted.
And they learned how to use guns on farms and in schools. And they took NRA training, which Code Pink says is evil. I say Code Pink is evil. I say Code Pink is communist. And I say Code Pink gets their instructions from a higher authority. And if you went all the way to the top, you'd find a KGB officer.
Oh no, that can't be. This is America. We're the land of the free. Yeah.
And what's the other thing that Al Gore and Joe Liberowitz used to say was they danced on the party platform that kills kids. We're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. Na 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 na. And what happened? We got 9-1-1. And nobody's seen it coming. Nobody's seen it coming. They scrambled two planes from Washington without ammunition, without weapons. And they ended up off of New York over the ocean. What do we do next was the request. Unbelievable. And all they did was they convened. This is a typical tactic of the Democamos. Whenever they screw up, the first thing they do is call for hearings and a commission and then a delay and another commission. And then they print a book and tell you, just like they did with this Benghazi thing, they blamed the dead. They blamed the dead. They blamed the ambassador for what happened. And they, if you look at the committees, they're always loaded with communists. They're always loaded with their people, the party over country people.
Yeah, John Kerry.
Hanoi John. Look what we're getting, man. We're getting all communists. You know, a communist isn't a guy that was begging for a potato and he had to pick up a rifle and a bayonet and kill the czar. That's the image. A communist can be a very wealthy man or woman worth billions. I call them Grey Poupon communists. Some of them are dupes, but most of them are... Some of them are dupees, but a lot of them are dupers. So, Senator Inouye also voted to kill kids. I don't know how you can vote to kill little Japanese Americans. I don't know how you can do it. I don't know how you can vote to kill any baby. God makes them beautiful. You know why? Because he knows the heart of man is evil. And he makes them beautiful like puppies and kittens. It makes it hard to kill them. You can't have a heart and kill a kid. I always say, if you want to have an abortion, the first place you should go is a firehouse and tell all the guys on duty that's what you're doing. And see what they tell you. You think people that are trained to save lives are going to talk you into an abortion? Oh, there are people that will do it for money. We know that. That's why there's so many Democratic chop-chops throughout the land. There's probably more abortion clinics in this country than there are churches. And one day we're going to have Nuremberg trials on us. And we're going to have to testify before the Big Banger and tell him what we did to his creation. And you're not going to be able to bullshit him. And you're not going to be allowed to have a lawyer. Yeah. You think about it. You better come back to God. Get your act together. This is a short life. You're lucky if you get 100 years out of it. Okay, so having said that, this is what I got here. I got this from Blacksmith, 1939. Do you have a gun in the house? Good to know. Good to know if you have a gun in the house. When I had my gangrene gallbladder taken out and spent 10 days in the hospital for what should have been an overnight stay, the insurance company kicked me out. I had home nurse visits for 2 weeks, and I was asked if I had guns in the house. I respond that if I did, I would not tell them. So, the below has some merit. For your information, I'm passing this along. I'm reading this. There are comments from two other people. I have also been asked to keep guns in, if we keep guns in the house. The nurse kind of slipped it in along with other regular questions. I told her I refused to answer because it was against the law to ask. Everyone, whether you have guns or not, should give a neutral answer so they have no idea who does and who doesn't. My doctor asked me if I had guns in the house and also if any were loaded. And I, of course, answered yes to both questions. Then he asked why I kept a loaded gun close to my bed. I answered that my son, who is a certified gun instructor and also works for Homeland Security, advised me that an unloaded, locked-up gun is no protection against criminal attack. The government now requires these questions to be asked of people on Medicare and probably everyone else. Just passing this along for your information, I had to visit a doctor other than my regular doctor when my doctor was on vacation. One of the questions on the form I had to fill out was, do you have any guns in your house? My answer was, none of your damn business. So, it is out there. It's either an insurance issue or government intervention. Either way, it is out there. And the second the government gets into your medical records, as they want to under Obamacare, you will become a major issue and will ultimately result in lock and load. Please pass this on to other retired guys and gun owners. Thanks from a Vietnam veteran and retired police officer. I had a doctor's appointment at a local VA clinic yesterday and found out something very interesting. I'd like to pass it along. While going through triage before seeing the doctor, I was asked at the end of the exam three questions. Did I feel stressed? Did I feel threatened? And did I feel like doing harm to someone? The nurse then informed me that if I answered yes to any of the questions, I would have lost my concealed carry permit, as it would have gone into my medical records and the VA would have reported it to Homeland Security. Looks like they're going after the vets first. Other gun people like retired law enforcement will probably be next. And when they go after the civilians, what argument will they have? Be forewarned and beware. The Obama administration has gone on record as considering veterans and gun owners potential terrorists. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's only one reason why a tyrant would want to make sure you don't have a gun. He intends to harm you. Why else would he take your self-protection away? He is making it easier to harm you. If you know veterans and gun owners, please pass this on to them and be very cautious about what you say to whom and to who and whom. They are coming for us. Unless you're an ostrich, you better not stick your hand in your head in the sand. Let me give you a tune and think about that. Think about that. When the Germans seized everybody's guns in Germany, and people said, why are you taking our guns away? The stock answer was, you have the German military to protect you. You don't need a gun. And you see how much they protected the people of Germany. 2 million German women were raped by the Russians. And that's, they were all unarmed.
Did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, baby, come home to me.
Did dot did it, dot did it,
I'm a baby, a telegram, asking to be a man.
Back home to me.
da did da did it did it did da did it did da did it did da did did da did it did da did da did baby come home to me did da did da did.
Let's talk about Connecticut. Connecticut, you know, they had an attorney general who lied about serving in combat in Vietnam, and they exposed him, and they exposed him as a fraud and a liar. So what did the people of Connecticut do? They elected him to the Senate. How's that? How's that? You going to trust people like that with that kind of judgment? You going to have them set up a gun-free zones? You know what doesn't work besides gun-free zones? Drug-free zones. They can buy it from the teacher. Yeah. Why do you think they got rubber rooms in public schools? What's a rubber room? Check it out. Find out. Be shocked like I was. Do you have a gun in the house? As I watched the fools with no experience blaming hunters for the murder of children, I watched the hunters feebly trying to defend their Second Amendment rights. The Second Amendment was not created to protect hunters. It was created to protect all of us from being hunted, like the Jews of Europe, like Communist Joe Stalin's 30 million victims that we know about, like Communist Mao's enemies, 30 million, like Communist Pol Pot's enemies, the entire city of Phnom Penh, Bill Ayers, future enemies, that 20% of the American population who he says will refuse to go to the re-education camps. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, we will see concentration camps in this country in our lifetime. Admiral Yamamoto was asked by his Navy why he did not follow up Pearl Harbor with a West Coast attack. He replied, behind every blade of grass is an American with a rifle. Take another horror perpetrated in Connecticut. Now, you see, everybody says it's guns that do the murdering. Well, here's the story of a guy with a baseball bat. Two evil men are seeing the vulnerability of an entire family, pulverized the head of the house with a baseball bat. Believing he was dead, they forced the mother to go to the bank and withdraw money, then returned home to rape two daughters. I think one was 12, one was 16, and the mother tied to beds, then set the house on fire, burning every trace of the crime that they had just committed. The police arrived too late. Had the family acquired a couple of handguns and a training hour, Dad would not be alone today with an empty life. And that was sad. And what was really sad, that woman was so terrified that when she was in the bank, that was her chance to scream for help. That was her chance to scream for help. And maybe had saved her children. But they told her that if she screamed for help, they would kill her children, and the guy was on the phone. But I tell you something. In that situation, in my opinion, in my judgment call, I would have screamed for help. It sounds, because I'll tell you, when the cops got there, they debated whether or not they should set up a negotiation team. Meantime, these guys were soaking live bodies with gasoline. So they had a baseball bat and gasoline, and they killed three people. It sounds good when politicians who have bodyguards say leave protection to law enforcement. Hitler said the same thing as he confiscated weapons of the people in 1938. And I heard one of the other talk show hosts saying that only 30% belonged to the Nazi Party, 70% were hostage. When he was finished, 30 million Europeans were dead and cities reduced to ashes, countries reduced to ashes. The right to bear arms is every American's right. If you choose not to have one, that's also your right, but do not deny it to others who have the right to bear arms. Like the words in the song, the world is still the same, you'll never change it. You can pass all the laws you want. A murderer is still going to become a murderer. And if he can't find a gun, he will find other weapons of super destruction. And somebody mentioned a guy that was mad at his girl and took gasoline into an after-hours joint and killed about 60 people, setting it on fire. So, the world is still the same, you'll never change it. And the name of that tune is Find Somebody to Love. And that is why I say that the murder weapon that Adam Lanza really used was the computer hard drive. And he knew it. And that is why he destroyed it. That hard drive was his sole recorder. S-O-U-L recorder. He was a loner to all but his computer. And if you want to know the progression from computer chat to infanticide, reconstruct that computer hard drive. And that is where all the bullets got used initially. Who was Adam's computer friend? Was it real or imaginary? Where is Adam's all-grown-up picture? The photo of the teen is not the real image of a deranged 20-year-old. If I can see it on YouTube, why can't you? And I found it also under Adam Lanza Images. You got to look hard for it, but it's there. And he's got a dead man's look in his eyes. A killer cold look in his eyes. That posse that arrived too late, as fast as they were, could not stop the intruder as he shot his way past the door. No matter how fast the response team is, it is not fast enough to stop a monster in action. Every school in the country needs protection on site. Don't overlook school buses. There was an episode in California where a school bus disappeared. And what had happened was two guys had pre-planned the hijacking of a school bus. And they took it they had dug a pit to bury it and bury the school bus with the driver and the kids. And then they held the kids for ransom and notified the school. And the school bus driver helped the kids get out. And when they got out, they got help. So, don't overlook the school bus. And I don't know if you've ever seen that Clint Eastwood movie where a guy hijacks a school bus. So, every school in the country needs armed protection on site. Don't overlook school buses. And then we better scrutinize all public gathering places. We are in a new USA where cities are bombed and no small town is safe. And here's a typical example. This was almost a gated community. And you want to know something? If you go to MapQuest and you put in the name of that school and police stations, you will see that it looks like there's a police station on the left of that school and on the right of that school and about 5 miles apart. Hang in there. We got a phone call. We're back. And then we better scrutinize all public gathering places. You know all the malls are wide open. And I'll tell you, Al-Qaeda ever gets it in their heads to do the malls, the economy is going to go right into the toilet. And you know that the jihadists, their biggest targets are the economy. That's why they hit Wall Street. That's why they destroyed Pan Am. That's why they destroyed TWA. They tried to destroy U.S. Air and American Airlines. We got a little bit lucky on that one. But they want an economical victory along with a terror victory. We are in the USA where cities are bombed and no small town is safe. And bedroom communities make easy targets. And now there's break-ins. Now there's break-in robberies and they don't care if you're there. And when they do those break-ins, they usually kill the people that are inside. So whether you like it or not, you're going to have to arm up. Because, let me tell you, a pistol in your hand is much faster than a 911 call where they put you on hold. The American cardinal rule, and this is what we should be looking at, the American cardinal rule is the strong must always protect the weak, including the unborn. Let us pray for the victims, including mothers with mentally ill children, and let us come together and learn from this tragedy. And never forget, this is most important, don't let the communists sidetrack you. They always take you away from the real focal point. The Second Amendment is not for hunting. It is to defend us all from being hunted. If the small town residents of Concord did not have fire, Concord, Massachusetts, did not have firepower equal to British troops, we would all be slaves of King George today, his most prosperous colony. Even though Adam Lanza destroyed his hard drive, there must be ways to reconstruct it, perhaps through servers. He had to go out there. He had to find a kindred spirit. He had to find somebody he chatted with that he liked. It's out there. You got to find it. You got to reach into the soul of this deranged man and see what really triggered and pulled the trigger of that AR-15. And never forget, it wasn't the AR-15 that did the damage. It was Adam Lanza and the hard drive. And that's why he destroyed it. Now, did he destroy it because he was told to destroy it? Or did he destroy it because he was guilty about what his soul really looked like? And you can expect, instead of seeing signs that say, this is a gun-free zone, I want to see signs that say, this neighborhood is protected by the Crossfire Association. And if there's a sign that says, this neighborhood is protected by the Crossfire Association, that means you got to work out crossfiring with your neighbor. Will the ACLU try to stop it because it has the word cross in it? Hang in there. From time to time, I read a speech that was made by George Patton, but I think it was the edited version that I read. So I came across the unedited version of Patton's speech to the troops. It's about 8 pages. I'm not going to read you the whole 8 pages, but I'm going to look for one paragraph, and when I come back, I'll read you the paragraph that impressed me the most. An excerpt from the 8-page a letter of Patton to his troops. And There was an incident that took place when Patton visited a hospital, and he slapped a private who had combat fatigue. And in the movie, Patton, he draws his gun and he says, "I'll shoot him." He did hate cowards, but the communist media back home, I think they blew the incident out of proportion, and the private happened to be Jewish, and they turned Patton into an anti-Semite. But I don't think it had anything to do with him being Jewish. Patton hated cowards, and here's an excerpt of how he felt about cowards. Patton paused, took a deep breath, and continued. "Each man must not think only of himself, but also of his buddy fighting beside him." And that's what the troops say today. It's all about the guy on either side of you. "We don't want yellow cowards in this army. They should be killed off like rats. If not, they will go home after this war and breed more cowards. The brave men will breed more brave men. Kill off the goddamn cowards and we will have a nation of brave men. One of the bravest men that I ever saw was a fella on top of a telegraph pole in the midst of a furious firefight in Tunisia. I stopped and asked what the hell he was doing up there at a time like that. He answered, 'Fixing the wire, sir.' I asked, 'Isn't that a little unhealthy right about now?' He answered, 'Yes, sir, but the goddamn wire has to be fixed.' I asked, 'Don't those planes strafing the road bother you?' And he answered, 'No, sir, but you sure as hell do.' Now there was a real man, a real soldier. There was a man who devoted all he had to his duty, no matter how seemingly insignificant his duty might appear at the time, no matter how great the odds. And you should have seen those trucks on the road to Tunisia. Those drivers were magnificent. All day and night they rolled over those son-of-a-bitchin' roads, never stopping, never faltering from their course, with shells bursting all around them all the time. We got through on good old American guts. Many of those men drove for over 40 consecutive hours. These men weren't combat men, but they were soldiers with a job to do. They did it in one hell of a way, and they did it. They were part of a team. Without team effort, without them, the fight would have been lost. All the links in the chain pulled together, and the chain became unbreakable. And that's what we're missing in the chain of the United States. The solid 50. We're broken. We're divided. We're being played one against the other. Who would do that to a country so great? The enemy. The enemy.